So in the event you have that you haven't noticed, I'm a huge and faithful LSU fan. I can't remember when LSU, and in particular LSU football, was not a part of my life. I religiously listened on the radio with my father as a child, and on those fateful Saturdays when LSU made it to CBS Sports when I was a child, it was always for the Alabama game. It was not a day of joy in our home. A couple of years back, LSU engaged in a new promotional campaign to capitalize on the essence of the spirit that is LSU. All things LSU, academics, research, athletics. Perhaps you've seen the campaign, Love Purple, Live Gold. Genius. Love Purple, Live Gold. In the passage for our text in Luke's gospel, the persistent widow is stuck between with a difficult place and a judge who happens to be a goat. And she's prevailing upon him for her cause. And the Lord says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In the second passage for our hearing this morning, Matthew speaks of the final judgment. When the Son of Man comes. You see, the Son of Man is coming. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, he will separate the righteous from the unrighteous by one single criterion. Did the one to be judged help or not help those around him in need? Now, if you read this passage, and I encourage you to read it over and over this week, you will notice that key to this passage is an element of surprise. The sheep are surprised because they didn't know that they were doing anything special when they helped others. And the goats are surprised because they miscalculated what and who was important and what and who was not important. The righteous made no calculation as to who to help or not. It was simply a response to their inner nature. When was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? The sheep loved people, well, because they were people. The loving was real. It was not meant to enhance their relationship with Jesus. There was no ulterior motive. The righteous act simply and genuinely and generously. The unrighteous are the ones who made judgments. They didn't help those that they felt were unworthy to be helped. And of course, had they known it was Jesus, surely they would have helped. This is where their surprise comes from. One can almost hear them now. Jesus, if we knew you were hungry. Jesus, if we knew you were naked or in prison. But we didn't know that. Now this text forces us to answer in our own hearts a very provocative question. Are we sheep people or are we goat people? Does what we say and do reflect the love of Jesus or not? A couple of years back, there was a video that went viral that I think really appropriately answered this question. It was originally aired on CBS News, the On the Road show. So I invite you to view the video now.
We end tonight with the football play of the month. It was executed with amazing precision by the Eagles, the Olivet Eagles. Steve Hartman has the play and the post-game analysis on the road.
Between classes, they schemed and conspired. For weeks, the football players here at Olivet Middle School in Olivet, Michigan, secretly planned their remarkable play.
Did anybody go, this is a crazy idea?
No, everyone was in on it.
But like the coaches didn't know anything about it. So we were like going behind their back.
I've just never heard of a team coming up with a plan to not score.
It's just like to make someone's day, make someone's week, just make them happy.
The play, which was two plays actually, happened at a home game earlier this month. The first part of their plan was to try to get as close to the goal line as possible without scoring, even if it meant taking a dive on the 1 yard line, which it did. The crowd was not happy. Quarterback Parker Smith.
But us kids knew, hey, we got this. This is our time. This is Keith's time.
Keith Orr is the little kid in the brown jacket. He's learning disabled, struggles with boundaries, but in the sweetest possible way. Because of his special nature, it's no surprise that Keith embraces his fellow football players.
Hug Gabe.
What is surprising is how they have embraced him.
Hello.
We thought it'd be cool to do something for him.
Because we really wanted to prove that he was part of our team and he meant a lot to us.
Nothing can really explain getting a touchdown when you've never had one before.
Which brings us to part two of their play. If you didn't see Keith, it's because they were so protective of him. But he was in the middle of that rush.
And when you crossed the goal line, what was that like?
Awesome.
It was like, did he just score a touchdown?
Get your camera out.
I'm like, oh, then I can't.
Keith's parents, Carrie and Jim, almost missed the moment, but they got the significance.
Somebody's always going to have his back from now until the day he graduates.
She's right. When the football team decides you're cool, pretty much everyone follows suit. Today, Keith is a new kid, although by no means was he the only one who was profoundly changed.
What was it like for you?
It was like once I saw him go in, I was smiling like about like here.
Wide receiver Justice Miller.
Like nothing could wipe that smile off my face.
Why did it affect you so much?
Because like he's never been like cool or popular, and he went from being like pretty much a nobody to making everyone's day.
Justice admits the play wasn't his idea.
I would have not really thought about that.
He says it never crossed his mind to give Keith any glory.
Well, I kind of went from being somebody like mostly cared about myself and my friends to caring about everyone and trying to make everyone's day and everyone's life.
Which may just make that touchdown the most successful football play of all time. Steve Hartman on the road in Olivet, Michigan.
So today, Justice Miller and Olivet Middle School, the football team, are sheep people. Now, I think this is a great time of the year to be thinking about these things, especially in light of the recent flooding in southeast Louisiana and around the country. There are many around us who are in need. We are still searching for those to serve, especially those to serve with our container full of goodies. And the question is a provocative question. Do we have the need, or do we have the kind of hearts that are open to doing whatever, whenever, without any sense of reward, to meet the need of all of God's children? It's true that the church is full of people whose love reflect the love of Jesus. Individuals whose ordinary acts are acts of extravagant generosity and extraordinary love to everyone, pushing themselves in the background and letting others be raised up. Humility is their trademark. And like the sheep, many of them would be surprised to know that as they reach out to others, they are actually serving Jesus. Matthew makes it clear here that there will be a judgment. There'll be a time when the Son of Man will come to judge, and Matthew makes it clear that ultimately only love matters, and love is always a participation in Jesus' love, whether we label it so or not. You see, love is not what we do, it's who we are, and it's how we act. come, O blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. What we do, how we treat people, is our response to the love of Christ in our hearts. Our nature should be, as the Apostle Paul says, we should be of the mind of Christ Jesus. We're to live our lives in Christ as one in whom Christ's love dwells. You see, being declared a sheep on Judgment Day is a good thing. It confirms a lifestyle that one has been living in the name of our Savior. In his book, The Wounded Healer, Henri Nouwen tells of the legend in the Talmud where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asked the prophet Elijah, "When will the Messiah come?" And Elijah replies, "Go and ask him yourself. Where is he? He's sitting at the gates of the city. How shall I know him? He's sitting among the poor, covered with sores. The others unbind all their wounds at the same time and then bind them up again. But he unbinds one at a time and binds it up again, saying to himself, 'Perhaps I shall be needed. If so, I must always be ready so as not to delay for a moment.'" Sheep people are people who place themselves in the places of greatest needs. Sheep people are people who, though they may have experienced the brokenness of life, are reaching out to others, helping to heal their wounds. Sheep people are people who are being healed by Christ and still are reaching out to the needs of others. Matthew makes it clear that there will be judgment, but when will it occur? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith upon the earth? You see, I think the judgment happens now. I think that we are judged when we do it to the least of these. Doing and acting in faith finds us in the kingdom now. Jesus knows us by our actions. Jesus knows us by how we are with others. And we are to be very careful about trying to see Jesus in others. Indeed, there will be a judgment. And our concern should only be that Jesus sees Jesus in us and others see Jesus in others, in us. One of my favorite Sundays of the Christian year is Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the Christian year, and this Sunday, we're going to be celebrating our homecoming, the 40th anniversary, our stewardship campaign, response to the ministry of the life of this church. And so I accelerated Christ the King Sunday for this Sunday because I believe that the Christ the King message is an important message for us to always keep in our hearts. Christ the King Sunday is set aside for us to celebrate Christ and the completion of creation and Christ's reign in our hearts. The color is purple, traditionally a color associated with Advent at its heart, a penitential season, a season of preparation, a season of preparing for the coming of the Messiah when the Son of Man comes to take the throne as Messiah. And gold? Gold symbolizes things that are precious and valuable. And so it is symbolized in majesty and joy and celebration. Gold is often used to represent the presence of God, which is the ultimate goal of the Christian. Now, I love that slogan from LSU's marketing team, "Love, Purple, Live, Goal." I also love the hashtag Forever LSU. Genius, brilliant marketing slogans that bring people to identify with this school and its mission. But after all, they're just slogans. And each in their own time will pass and die down. What I say to you this morning is that I think that this slogan is most appropriate for our lives as Christians. You see, as Christians, we are to love purple. We're to look at this temporal earthly life and prepare for the coming of the Messiah in joy. I think from time to time we are to go through a period of self-evaluation. Are we actually being Jesus in the lives of those with whom we are in relationship and in community? I think that we are to evaluate in repentance and pray for God's assurance. So I think we are to love purple. But I also think that we love purple so that we can live gold, waiting for that day when the Son of Man comes to judge us. And looking upon that day, not as a day of fear, but a day of celebration and joy. For I hope that when God judges me, my life, my actions, that God sees me as a person who is a sheep who has followed him faithfully. Love, purple, live, gold, bring us into the majesty and the joy and the celebration that is eternal life in God. I celebrated the life of a saint of the church yesterday. And when I celebrate such a life, I always say that our beloved has gone on to that place where each of us in our own turn hopes to go. We do this by loving purple and living gold. May it also be true for you.